It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. It'll be a while before we have final turnout numbers for the Illinois primary election, but one thing is likely to be true. The younger you are, the more likely it is you did not vote yesterday. And the same has long been true for general elections as well. But in the past 10 years, that has been changing. Both 2020 and 2022 saw record numbers of young voters participating in the election, driven by issues like abortion and voting rights. The question is, will that trend continue? How do younger voters feel about the candidate options this year? And what issues are likely to motivate them? Joining us now to talk more about youth voting patterns and what we might look for in 2024 is Anil Kukudkar. He is in the Harvard class of 2026 and is chair of the Harvard Youth Poll, which looks at voting patterns among young people. Anil, welcome to the 21st show. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're also joined by Elena Moore, who is politics reporter for NPR. Elena, welcome to the show to you as well.
Great to be here. Thanks, Brian.
And closer to home, Levi Molenauer is the social studies chair at Urbana High School in Urbana, Illinois. He recently helped put together a forum in which local politicians could get students eligible to vote, interested in the democratic process. Levi, welcome to the 21st show to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
And we are joined finally by one of Levi's students who attended the forum. Joe Salava is a senior at Urbana High. Joe, welcome to you.
Hello, thank you.
Listeners, you can join our conversation today at 800-222-9455, especially if you are a younger voter. Did you vote yesterday? What made you vote or decide not to vote? 800-222-9455 is the number. Anil, I want to begin with you. Tell us about the most recent Harvard Youth Study, what it found with regard to voting patterns among young people.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, you know, 2020 and 2022 were really years of record turnout. Our latest poll from fall of 2023 found a slight dip in projected turnout for the presidential election and then a dip in the primary turnout as well. And we found that, you know, among those that were, you know, experiencing the sharpest declines in projected turnout were Republicans, independents, young Hispanics, and young Black voters as well. So we're seeing that, you know, these dips in turnout are not uniform across all young people. So it's definitely something to take a look at more closely as we approach November.
Do the survey results give you any clues as to why they say they're less likely to maybe turn out this year?
Yeah, so I mean, we've seen time and time again that young people turn out when they feel that their vote makes a tangible difference, as we did see in 2022, which functioned as sort of a referendum on abortion and many other issues. My best guess would be that young voters aren't exactly thrilled about making the same choice they had to make in 2020. And we've seen that, you know, when we ask young people about, you know, the frontline candidates, Trump and Biden on the presidential level, a plurality trust neither on a number of major issues. So we're seeing that, you know, young voters really aren't impressed with either candidate on a number of issues, but they do trust Trump on some and Biden on others. I think that, you know, this is a symptom of something bigger, and that is a decline in institutional trust. And how young people view the office of the presidency and how people view the federal government as a whole.
All right, that actually sort of leads right into some tape that we have. One of our producers went out yesterday, talked to some young people in Urbana, Illinois. We compiled our own non-scientific survey on campus. We asked people if they had voted yesterday and their thoughts on the most likely presidential candidates.
Cooper Glenn. Shea Wetler.
Benjamin Arango.
Caitlin Stufkin.
Madison Meinhardt.
So today is the Illinois primary election. Did you vote?
No, I actually didn't even know it was happening. And then I saw something for it and I still haven't voted yet. I might.
Personally, I would probably just go in blindly, but I think the better option would be to go do research before, so maybe I actually will do that option.
No, I have not, and that's because I feel like I've just been very just busy and out of the know with just in general. Even when it comes to the biggest candidates, when it comes to presidential candidates possible for other Republican or Democratic Party, I've been very out of the touch and out of the know just because. But even then, if it comes down to Biden and Trump again. Like, I don't know if I'll vote per se because I don't, now looking back at it, I don't know either are like that great of an option.
I voted by mail, so a few days ago, yeah. I felt like I was able to like take my time and like really research the candidates before I voted for it, which was good.
I think they're both, well, I think Trump's crazy and Biden's like too old, to, so he's going crazy too. We need like an age limit or something. I don't think either of them are great options. It's like the lesser of two evils at this point.
Choices are not great, but if we had to like vote for an independent, I feel like in this case it's like wasting a vote because most people are like on their like parties like pretty strictly between Democratic and Republican. So yeah, I don't know. Not great is my final answer.
All right, there you have it. Not great is her final answer. Thank you to our producer, Jose Zepeda, for guilting voters in Urbana, young voters, into going to the polls. Elena Moore, I want to bring you into the conversation now. Politics reporter at NPR, you have been reporting on young voters this year. I wonder if what you heard there and what we heard from Anil resonates with what you've been finding out in the world.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, if I had a nickel for the amount of times I've heard the phrase lesser of two evils, I would just quit my job and like go live on the beach in a nice house. I was just in Michigan. I was in North Carolina for those primaries the last few weeks. And I heard that a lot, especially looking at young liberal leaning voters. But I heard it on both sides of the aisle, too. But you know, this idea, especially on the left, that no one is really excited to vote for President Biden again. I think that sentiment is really real. And I also did talk to people on college campuses who didn't know about the primaries because, you know, it's not, I think it's fair to say, a competitive primary season on either side. The one thing I really did get to see folks get a little bit more energized about was this idea of kind of using their vote as a protest vote. And that's something I heard, especially in Michigan, the idea of casting their ballot for either an uncommitted option or a third party candidate to kind of send a message that they were not excited. So yeah, definitely heard those similar sentiments.
Levi Mollenauer, social studies chair at Urbana High School, your job is literally trying to get young people civically educated. I wonder what goes through your head as you're listening to, you know, these comments as, you know, somebody who teaches the next generation of voters.
Yeah. So, I mean, looking at kind of the research of voter turnout, especially for young adults, it's not promising. It's frankly very concerning. Early data from the 2024 primary season is showing that in New Hampshire, there was a 16% youth turnout. And in the other states, we're looking at like 2-6% turnout for youth voters. As a teacher, that's telling me that we have a very important task ahead of us. And something great about teaching in Illinois is that Illinois takes civics very seriously. We have very unique civics mandates that not only require students to receive kind of concrete instruction to build a foundational understanding of civics, governmental foundations, democratic practices, but students are also required to participate in simulations of democratic practices. So, for example, engaging in a candidate forum, working through a project where they are creating a bill and running it through the process of how a bill becomes a law. And Illinois' mandate takes it even further and requires that students have discussions about current and controversial issues. So we're really seeing that Illinois is kind of doing a lot of innovation, and they're really trying to trailblaze a path of getting youth voters engaged civically, which goes beyond just getting out and voting in the primary.
Joe Salava, I want to bring you into the conversation. But before this primary election, describe what your interest level was in politics.
Yeah, I don't think I was ever really that interested. I mean, growing up in a world where like social media is like your one avenue for news outlets and stuff like that, you obviously see all these crazy headlines on TikTok and on Twitter and stuff like that. But besides that, I never really paid much attention. But it really wasn't until I took my Mr. Molinari's class and we were able to build our own campaign. And he said it could be, you know, it could be for anything you wanted. and I don't really remember what we did, but I think the excitement of, you know, learning the process of how our elections and government works. And I think that's what really got me excited to, you know, engage in voting.
Did you get most of your political news from social media, Joe?
Kind of. I mean, I guess as a youngster, that's kind of what.
There's no wrong answers here.
Yeah, sure. A lot of just like from what your parents say and then what you hear from teachers. I feel like that's a lot of what us youths see. But I think as I'm getting older, and like I actually just participated in the primary yesterday, so I've been able to try to research on my own and build my own ideas. But yeah, definitely Instagram and all that stuff is where you see a lot of social politics stuff.
Yeah. All right. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking today about voting patterns among our youngest fellow Americans. My guests are Joe Salava, who is a senior at Urbana High School in Urbana, Illinois. One of his teachers is Levi Molenauer, chair in social studies at Urbana High. He recently helped put together a forum with local politicians aimed at getting students who are eligible to vote interested in the democratic process. We're also talking with Elena Moore, politics reporter for NPR, and Anil Kakutkar, who is chair of the Harvard Youth Poll and an undergrad at Harvard. The poll there looks at young people's voting patterns. Anil, what did people say in the survey about their high school educations and how well it did or did not prepare them for voting?
Yeah, so I'll start by saying that one of our key findings from our last survey was that active high school civic education is linked to a higher propensity for voting. So we obviously have seen like the importance of, you know, programs like the ones we've been talking about, and a robust civic education program. But overall, most young Americans don't actually believe that their high school education taught them and, you know, prepared them to understand some of the practical parts of voting, as well as the importance of their vote in the context of, you know, a representative democracy. And we saw that whether it was, you know, when voting deadlines are or how to research candidates and a ballot issue, we found that young people were woefully unequipped as a whole, you know, to address some of the fundamental parts of what it means to participate in a representative democracy. And this is something really worrying because it's not just, you know, we're not just looking at a crosstab. We're looking at the future electorate. And these are the habits that will build our democracy into the future. So it is really important that we do emphasize civic education at the high school level, especially.
What got you interested in politics, Anil?
Yeah, so I come from a family of immigrants. And, you know, growing up, we always had this, you know, attitude of political apathy in my household where, you know, it really doesn't matter who's in charge. We just have to stick to our own things. And, you know, me being a contrarian to my parents, I decided to, you know, learn a little bit more and get more invested in my local government and really understand what was happening in, you know, those processes.
The apple rolling away from the tree, I guess, a story as old as time. Elena, let me ask you, civic education, does that come up in your conversations with young voters? Or you know, where do people, are people engaging with news about politics? Or is it all, you know, social media or what their friends and parents and teachers say?
I mean, I think it's complicated because if we like it or not, you know, this generation has come of age during a really tumultuous time in politics. So maybe, you know, in my experience covering young voters over the last few years, you can talk with people about some of the big issues going on in the country because, you know, like we're talking about, people see it on their phones. You know, you can't go more than a few scrolls on social without seeing some, you know, really striking update about what's happening, you know, in the world or with climate change or, you know, active violence in the US. Like these things are really front and center online. And, you know, it is true that, you know, we've seen an increasing number of young Americans get their news from social media, and they just do so at a higher rate. I mean, they know it, you know, their most of their life, at least most of their childhood and adult life. So I think when I've talked with people about the, you know, nitty gritty of do you understand what's on the ballot, sometimes that's a little less clear, especially down ballot. But I know that there are especially in the organizing space, a big push to help people understand that more and make sure people know that there is more than just voting for president. You know, maybe you're not super excited or enthusiastic about the presidential race, but don't forget there's a mayoral race in your town, or, you know, you should really learn about your state reps. And there are groups doing work to kind of get young people engaged in local and state politics, and also just support those candidates and get more young people to run for those seats. So I would say that's definitely still a challenge of getting people educated both on the actual civics side of this, and especially as a generation so passionate about issues.
You know, as I'm listening to you talk about people not being aware of what's on down ballot races, I think, well, yeah, we're talking about young voters, but that's probably true of a lot of middle-aged and other aged voters
definitely.
That you talk to, right? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's always the spiciest headline is often coming from the campaign trail of one of these candidates. But as we know, these issues affect Congress, they affect state legislatures, they affect local team. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. We need to take a break in about a minute here. But Levi, before we do, just maybe set a baseline for us. When you have a new group of students, be it in August or September, or maybe in January, what is their level of knowledge and an interest in politics when you start out one of your classes?
It kind of varies year to year. The last couple of years, I have really had most of my students, they're really kind of apathetic to politics and government just because it's been so polarized and divisive. Most of the students that I have this semester are not interested in politics. They struggled to engage at the beginning of the semester. But I think that teaching them kind of the foundational aspects and then giving them projects in which they're actually kind of doing government things, they are using M&Ms to gerrymander a map of Illinois. next week, we're bringing in Rodney Davis to talk about his work in Congress. So I think it's just making those good connections.
All right. We will continue. Maybe we'll get some M&Ms for the rest of our program here after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about voting patterns among our youngest fellow Americans. My guests today are Anil Kukudkar, who is chair of the Harvard Youth Poll, which looks at younger people's voting patterns. He's also an undergrad himself at Harvard. Levi Molenhauer is social studies chair at Urbana High School. He recently helped put together a forum with local politicians aimed at getting younger voters, or I guess people eligible to become voters, interested in the democratic process. We're also joined by one of his students, Joe Salava, a senior at Urbana High, and also Elena Moore, politics reporter for NPR. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. 800-222-9455. Elena, what do you see both parties, and maybe we can take them in turn, doing to try and get younger voters engaged with their campaigns and the electoral process this year?
Yeah, I think both parties and both presidential campaigns know that this, you know, voters under 30, or if we include millennials, voters under 43, you know, we can say 45, are really important. As we've talked about, they were, you know, they turned out at higher numbers in these past few elections. And they, you know, starting on the Democrat side, I guess, overwhelmingly voted for Biden, President Biden in 2020, specifically voters under 30. So Gen Zers and younger millennials turned out by like a wide margin for Biden. So yeah, the campaign like knows these voters are really important to hold on to. They actually just launched a new program called, or initiative called, Students for Biden. And it's focused on really beefing up these groups kind of on college campuses and in high schools around the country where, you know, if you're interested in getting involved, you can start a chapter or an organization and then work with the campaign over the year, or, you know, next few months. We'll see how quickly time flies, to kind of get your friends engaged. So that's the latest on the Biden side. They've also as you might have seen, if you're scrolling on TikTok, they are on TikTok now, you know, part of the campaign. They have an account, which, you know, was a striking move for the campaign, given the White House. You know, the White House has come out in support of legislation in Congress that could, you know, effectively ban TikTok. So it's interesting seeing them kind of balance the real need to work with this really important voting bloc, but also kind of balance what potential national security concerns there are with TikTok, and also, you know, keep other coalitions of their base happy and seen. So yeah, it's been really interesting watching the Biden team. On the Trump side, their campaign is also very aware of how important this age group is. And they're also, they will say, very keen on reaching young people who, like we've talked about, are not excited about another potential term of Biden in the White House. They want to talk about that. They want to capitalize on the fact that, especially around economic issues, young people are anxious about affording, you know, rent and groceries, and also just paying for things, buying a house one day. So they're really looking at this too. The former president has, you know, done a lot of, done a lot of like conservative podcasts are a lot of young people on there. So they're not shying away from this group either. And as we know, you know, in some of these key battleground states, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, states that had really small margins in 2020, they're also states where young people could really help push a candidate over that, you know, finishing line. So I think both campaigns are really going to be looking at this age group closely.
Joe Salava, I wonder, as a high school student, you don't have to out your own political preferences if you don't want to, but among your peers, do you see excitement or enthusiasm about Biden and or Trump, or what attitude do you hear from people about them?
So I guess I got to bring it back to social media. I think a lot of all the horrible, nasty, disgusting things that everybody does is always on social media. So it's so hard to like pick and choose people when like the only things you're really seeing are like the really horrible things. But I would say, I guess maybe like in this area in Urbana, like definitely more liberal leaning. So I would say more, but I would say I also hear the lesser than two, you know, two evils all the time. So I think it really depends. People are just wanting people their age and, you know, younger people showing up and getting involved. And I think we're all kind of tired of older people trying to run our government when it doesn't work. So.
Let me Anil Kakudkar, let me ask you a similar question. And maybe, I don't know if this is captured in the Harvard Youth Poll or maybe just your own personal experience, but you know, one of the things you hear is that younger voters are not real excited about Biden. But I have heard that, like, if you encounter a college Republican today, they have spent really their formative years, the last 8 or 10 years, where President Trump has been the leading figure in the Republican Party. And a lot of them are very excited about this idea of being part of the MAGA movement. I wonder how you see that play out among your peers.
Yeah, so I can take on both. Our poll does cover some elements of this. And then I can also speak to just some anecdotal observations. So back to the poll, we find that, like, among young Americans, a lot of the support for Trump is built around supporting him as a candidate and his ideology, whereas support for Biden is largely fueled by negative partisanship and a desire to not see Trump in office this coming fall, or the next spring, I should say. And I think that speaks to a larger, you know, like, you know, dynamic that you've pointed out, that, you know, young Republicans are a lot more excited about voting for Trump, whereas you know, those that are inevitably going to vote for Biden in the fall aren't, you know, talking to their friends about, you know, his campaign or his policies. And I think that, you know, part of this stems from, you know, this idea that, you know, politics has become such a, you know, toxic sphere for many people. And young Americans are going through so much, whether that's the mental health crisis or economic stress. So why add, you know, another bit of negative partisanship to that mix? So you are spot on saying that. And young voters the Harvard Youth Poll conducted a focus group in Michigan just a few weeks back, and we saw pretty much the same thing in person, talking to a group of about 20, 25 youth voters. And, you know, those that voted for Biden in 2020, when we asked them, you know, their choice, you know, kind of raised their hands a little half-heartedly when we asked them if they were going to vote for Biden in 24. So we are seeing that, you know, those that voted for Trump in 2020 in this age cohort are just as excited about voting for him in 24.
Elena, you know, I've heard this discussed on two different politics podcasts in the past week. And then you had a piece, what, yesterday on Morning Edition on this very topic? I guess that makes a trend, right?
Well, yeah, I think it's important to just stress that this generation may in the past have overwhelmingly voted or supported Democratic candidates, but they are not a monolith and they don't overwhelmingly kind of cheerlead for a party, you know, in the same way that maybe once was. They kind of, and, you know, the Harvard Youth Poll shows this well, but party affiliation is fairly split. I mean, it still leans Dem, but it's not the same necessarily as how folks feel about issues, you know, as we've talked about. But I think it's important to look at this smaller but still there portion of the youth electorate that is conservative. And, you know, in the same way that young people have been shaped by when they were kids and growing up in the Great Recession and with school shooting drills and the threat of climate change, these things that are key to their upbringing and their, you know, ideological evolution, there are folks who grew up over the last almost decade with former President Trump in the political sphere. You know, I just had a story on Morning Edition yesterday talking with some young people out in Ohio, a state that at one point voted for former President Barack Obama, then, you know, voted twice for former President Trump. And, you know, I talked to this one young man who's 18 now, and he was in fourth grade when Trump first really became a serious political candidate in the Republican Party. Fourth grade, and now he's old enough to vote. That's a huge chunk of your life that you've watched someone, you know, be a political figure. So, at the same time, I think that this is a generation that isn't locked down for President Biden, as we've talked about. It's, you know, there have been some polls that show Trump and Biden in a closer matchup in this age group. I would say that, you know, we shouldn't read too much into polls and get out there and talk with people and have discussions like we're having. But, you know, that's not something to sneeze at. So I think the question I'm going to be having going forward is how many of these young voters, you know, outside of just conservatives, going broad for a second, but how many of these young voters no longer feel like they can support someone like President Biden? And do they stay home or not vote that top ticket, or do they vote for Trump? From what I've seen, I would be curious to see if they stay home or instead of support President Trump. But we'll see. I mean, there's a long way to go.
Let's go to the phones at 800-222-9455 in the short time we have remaining. Ted is calling from rural Petersburg on line 4. Ted, thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Hi there. I understand you were made to watch politics on TV earlier in life.
Oh, yes. When I was growing up, my parents, you know, made sure we were politically educated, made us watch both the Democratic and the Republican primary, and that was back when primaries were, you know, you voted on a plank of a party platform.
And the parties have changed quite a lot in that time, though.
Oh, well, either that or we're not televising the, you know, non-commercial appeal
sure.
of part of the convention.
Yeah. All right, Ted, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate that. Levi, we haven't heard from you in a while. I want to ask you, we heard Ted there, his folks made him sit down and sort of watch the political conventions. What have you learned from your work about the best ways to get young people engaged with politics?
Yeah, I think the best way is before students are going to want to do anything, they really have to kind of know what they're doing and what they're talking about and what they're going to do. So I do a lot of lecturing at the beginning of each unit, so that they can have that foundational background, they can have the scholarly political vocabulary words, and then we then turn that into some sort of a project, whether they are creating a campaign, running for class president, they are creating attack ads, support ads, yard signs, or through voter registration drives, they're really able to take that foundational knowledge, put it into practice, and then at the end, they're able to reflect on that and have discussions about whether or not they think that those simulations, those activities were productive, whether or not they are kind of helping them understand what it means to live in a democracy and to be an active and engaged citizen.
And Joe, what about you? Do you think, is politics now something you see yourself continuing to follow or something you pick up every 2 to 4 years as needed for an election? Or where would you put yourself on that spectrum? And again, no wrong answers, no judgment.
Maybe, definitely. With the candidate forum, I learned like how important these people were stressing, like that young voters and all voters get out and vote in the primary. There is one candidate we had that was just like, I've worked in campaigns for a long time and I've seen them people win by like few like a handful of votes. So definitely learned the importance of getting my voice out there and getting our voice out there. So definitely want to keep following it. I think Mr. Molinar's class made it super fun and engaging and I guess easy to learn. So I definitely want to keep following it because I mean, growing up in this world where I've been around Trump for however long and Hillary, and now it's Trump and Biden. I've, you know, grown up in that world for forever. So I think it's important to follow. Yeah, I think so.
It has been a static political environment in some ways, definitely.
It's
all right.
Very, very crazy.
Joe Salava, Levi Molinauer, Anil Kakudkar, and Elena Moore, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show. Really interesting conversation.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Elena Moore is politics reporter at NPR. Anil Kakudkar is an undergrad and chair of the Harvard Youth Poll. Levi Molinauer is social studies chair at Urbana High School in Urbana, Illinois. And he's Mr. Molinauer to Joel Salava, who is a senior at Urbana High and one of his students. That's all the time we have for our program today. You can let us know what you think about what we've been talking about by emailing talk@21stshow.org. You can also find that and every other way to contact us on our website, 21stshow.org. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Damian Contreras. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.